This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
There it is. Ooh, there baby. It is. Love the intensity. To start off the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, it's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you on, it's a gloomy Thursday.
It is pouring outside.
Let's call it what it is. But it's also kind of cool because the Bills, oh, hey, we leave yesterday.
Yeah, a lot happened.
A lot happened. The Bills get Hard Knocks. Deion Dawkins officially pitches an award.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks choked.
That game was incredible.
The Stars are making me hate my life.
Don't take penalties. Don't take penalties, kids.
And, hey, the Bills got Hard Knocks.
Bills did get Hard Knocks. I thought this was a chance with the rules changing. Going from really just covering bad teams, quote-unquote bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
Teams that had made the playoffs in 2 years, no rookie coaches. It typically signals bad teams with maybe a glimmer of hope.
Mm-hmm.
To now, nah.
Marketability.
Interesting, good teams can now participate. And while I thought the Bills would get a Christmas game or a holiday game, they didn't get that. They do, though, get Hard Knocks.
Hey, you, Christmas movie. Come here. And that's what happened.
I am excited. I am very, very excited. Now, funny enough, maybe about a year ago, probably about a year ago, because we were talking about the Giants in season one, I wanted no part of this. I was very adamant. I wanted no part of this. Keep my team away from all of this stuff. I'm good. I want to watch other teams. I have completely changed my tune in like maybe the last year.
I will say this even more so. I don't know how potentially, like, I doubt there's anything spicy that comes from the Bills at Hard Knocks, by the way. Because teams can control the message a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
B, the Bills are stable. Are we really going to get anything that's going to, like, cause some sort of wobbleoo? Are we going to get anything that is going to be like, oh, this is a distraction? No. Anyone that's afraid of this team being distracted because Hard Knocks is around for 2 weeks, please relax. The Bills are not the Bills of the past, where if the Bills, when they were bad and the original rules of Hard Knocks applies, yeah, I definitely don't want them near an organization that was under dysfunction more times than not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the perfect team to put on Hard Knocks because Sean McDermott has everyone hardwired in a certain way, ready to go. And yes, the playoff failures are the playoff failures. But tell me that this is not one of the best teams consistently throughout the season, year in and year out. Paper soft set schedule? I'm sorry, but if the Bills still fail to win 12 games, then yes, Hard Knocks is officially a distraction, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's not a fear. Drop that fear because the Bills are not that. They're not a dysfunctional organization. They are a good team that is very marketable, has Josh Allen to bail them out of any issues. Yeah, this is, I don't want to say it's perfect, but this team is perfectly suited for this. Distraction? No.
No, I don't think it's a distraction. Maybe in the early years with Hard Knocks you can get there because it was more revolutionary and mm-hmm. other teams weren't doing it. Most teams now have like their own embedded series and what have you. The Bills have it. And along with that—
We live in a day and age where cameras are everywhere.
Along with that, Jeremy and Sal had Chris Emma of 670 The Score on at 9 o'clock. And Chicago just did this. And he mentioned that the teams have final says. And it is only 2 weeks. It is not a long period of time. It's, I think, more just to get your name out there. Just to get some of these young up-and-coming stars. You know, you're going to have the Hard Knock storylines. Who's the undrafted free agent trying to make the team? Who's the fun rookie or the second-year player? Like, the Bills have a lot of those guys. And you can maybe be worried that someone like a Keon Coleman, who is going to absolutely be kind of one of these main fixtures. Hey, I need him to zero in. I don't need him worrying about, like, did he get a zinger off on this episode or not. I can understand your fears. I get it. It's not a long process, and the teams have final say. If the teams don't want a certain player being interviewed, the guy won't be interviewed.
By the way, the teams having final say tells you everything about the New York Giants because, oh my God, that whole thing with the Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones,
yeah.
like those clips. How did you let that get through? If the teams truly have final say, wow, John Mara, you are more incompetent than I thought you were as an owner.
I think that's the thing is you could look at Mara and be upset about that. I do think part of it, though, was Joe Shane wanted to show off how much conviction he had about letting Barkley go. It just didn't come off well
yeah.
at all.
It just something like why the Giants let that go is now just an infamous thing. And like that's why people are afraid of Hard Knocks mm-hmm. and everything like that. No. The team greenlit that then. That's dreadful for them. The Bears during Hard Knocks were looked at as a team of hope. We now see from a certain book coming out by Seth Wickersham and the fact that two coaches were fired mid-season, including the first year offensive coordinator. Yeah, that was a lie.
I mean, we talked with Zach Pearson earlier this week, and he mentioned, like, by training camp, that everyone was looking at Shane Waldron going, oh, this won't work.
Yeah.
Like,
did that show up in Hard Knocks at all?
Exactly.
Not a chance.
No one knew that except for a Jaxon Smith-Njigba clip.
Yep.
And some people in Seattle going, I don't know about that.
And that's
until
the thing.
Until the season started. No one knew.
So with the cameras pointed at the Bills, I can guarantee you two things right now. One. Training camp may be in Rochester, but there's absolutely going to be a portion of this where, like, they end up in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
The
stadium will be shown off.
Stadium will be shown off, and wings will be shown off, and some of the people around here will be shown off.
Mm-hmm.
I can 1,000% guarantee you that. Because the Bills can then use this as an opportunity for, hey, this is a place for players to come. This is a place that, yeah, when Josh Allen does eventually retire, there's an opportunity here for cementing yourself as a place that teams or that players, excuse me, and coaches may want to come to. This is, it may not be something necessarily that like I can feel it in my bones that the organization might
feel
not have
it
wanted.
In my bones.
I can feel it in my bones. Enough people will say like, there's no way the Bills wanted this, right? And I don't know.
You can argue most teams probably don't want this.
Yeah, no. But the feeling in my bones right now, my tibia is telling me no shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. Because like you said, most teams don't want that extra attention anyway. The Bills under Rex Ryan would have.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? The Bills under Rex Ryan.
Oh, my
God. He would have been pitching. Rex Ryan would have been pitching for it at the exit meetings of the following season.
Right.
Hey, by the way, HBO, did you see my truck?
Did you see? Oh, my saying. God, yeah.
I hired my brother. We have a tandem bike, guys.
Oh, my God.
Guys.
Yep.
Guys.
Yep.
It
guys,
been
look
over.
At us.
It would have been over.
Oh, my God, yeah. I think that it's just one of these things of where.
That's also the Bills team, though, that you would look back at the editing and going, oh, they let that through?
I would have been.
Why'd they let that through?
I would have been terrified of the Bills Rex Ryan team getting Hard Knocks because they would have been memed for a century.
That's awesome.
This team will not. This team will not.
No.
And I feel very comfortable with them having it with this iteration. And not even last year's iteration. Because last year, a lot of outside voices were talking about, oh, is this a retool year for them? Are they going to finish first in the AFC East? Blah, 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 blah.
What the hell is everybody eats?
I would have gotten very annoyed. Because last offseason, I was very annoyed about how everyone's like, oh, maybe Miami will win the division. Maybe it'll be the Jets. Okay. This year, there's none of that. There's no outside chatter about maybe they trip up and lose the division. None of that. This is the perfect year to do it.
They have a quote-unquote easy schedule. The division's kind of bad. And all the drama from last year of like getting the team or the ducks in a row of like this new sort of iteration of them.
Hell, last offseason with Stephon Diggs being traded, like, and the fresh wound there. No,
but
this is
everything
the
ultimately worked. Yeah, like so they're going in, going, we know this works. We all really like it. Let's ride.
The only quote unquote drama was our place getting torched in the crossfire.
Yeah, that's about it.
That's it.
Because even the James Cook stuff, even the James Cook stuff, you can argue isn't really drama yet. He has a full year left on his contract,
and even that is something that could be swept under the rug at this point. Like,
yeah,
8030550. How you feeling about the Bills getting Hard Knocks? Good thing, bad thing, maybe a little bit of both. Is there a feeling in your jaw that you don't know how to feel or you have an uneasy feeling about it? Let us talk you down.
I'm pumped for it.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I'm not necessarily pumped for it, but I'm like,
no, I'm there.
I'm chilling. I'm okay over here. Perfectly fine. I'll absolutely watch it, mostly because I feel like I have to. But it's also, I'm perfectly comfortable with this team getting Hard Knocks because this team is as stable can be. And there's a difference. Especially with how the team can control the message.
Yeah, for what is actually going to be seen.
Yeah,
for what they're actually going to be letting out. It's not going to be the winless Cleveland Browns getting Hard Knocks and, you know, you have Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson going back and forth in a meeting and stuff like that. It's not going to be that.
Kenneth Dorsey leading this offense.
No, I will say, I spoke on this last night on the nightcap. For me, it's just, I don't care if the Bills intend it this way or not. I like that the Bills are trying to position themselves, or at least are being positioned, to be a brand in the league past their all-world quarterback playing. That is my biggest fear every year we get closer to the end. And he just had Josh Allen just had his 29th birthday yesterday. It's not like his career is going to end next year or next 2 years because of age. It's not. But you can see the end of you can see the road sign now. We can see the exit. And my fear is that it, a lot like the 90s, will have this run and then go get back in your corner. You're the second smallest market in the sport. The NFL doesn't need market size. Their two most marketable teams are Kansas City and Buffalo. Those are their best teams that everyone can't shut up about.
Yeah.
Do they have the Philadelphias and the Dallases and the New York? Yes. Every sports does. But where a sport like basketball is very dependent on market size. Look at just 2 days ago. Ant Edwards of Minnesota is considered by many to be the future face of the sport. And Shea Gilgeous-Alexander just won the MVP. And yet game one of the Western Conference Finals was down 24% viewership ratings-wise from last year and was the lowest viewership since 2020. Yet I guarantee you, New York and Indiana, going to be one of the higher ones from last night.
People watch that.
The NFL doesn't need that.
They don't have that problem.
Their brand is the NFL. Then you just get interesting teams. That's where I'll give Jerry Jones a ton of credit. Yes, Dallas is a big market. But he took America's team from the 70s and made it to where no matter how bad or how good they are,
you talk about them.
The Cowboys will always be talked about. I'm not saying Hard Knocks is going to send them into that stratosphere and no doubt, and we'll always be talking about them forever. They still have to do things correctly. But I want to get it to the point where these young coaches that are in college right now, that will be coming up through these pipelines in just the next few years, will look at Buffalo and go, oh, I want to coach there. I want to get my start there. They do things right there. They have a new stadium. They have a state-of-the-art athletic facility.
The guy who's like graduating from college, yep, and like is joining an NFL staff at 26.
Yep.
You want that guy to be interested in Buffalo.
Because that means you won't have the nearly 20-year playoff drought. Because you'll be drafting good players. You'll be developing good players. You'll be continuing on. As much as I give Green Bay a lot of grief, they're kind of exactly what I want the Bills to be over the next 30, 40 years. Don't be afraid to go get your future at quarterback, even though you have the guy now. Because guess what? You're Green Bay, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You don't have the luxury to just sit back on your laurels and go, well, we're the Green Bay Packers. Well, it's not a free agent destination. You have to be attractive.
Even then, Green Bay has more laurels of the past that they can rest on than Buffalo does. So it might be something like that where you're right. But I don't know. It just – everything about what the Bills are doing, they're involved with the Christmas movie. They're on Hard Knocks. They are the only team favored to win every single game upon schedule release. This is the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time to go, yeah, all right, fine, we'll step up.
And I think
we'll get this out of the way.
Yes, get this out of the way, get this part out of the way, and then hopefully win a Super Bowl. Don't go out in an AFC Championship game at your old stadium,
We'll get this out of the way. Yeah. We'll get this out of the way. Don't talk to us about Hard Knocks for like 10 years.
That's fine. But like, it's just for me, I'm glad they're doing it. I'm glad they're getting it out of the way, you know, if you want to put it like that. But for me, it's just keep growing the brand. Because look at what Kansas City's doing. I give them grief a lot too. But if they really were positioning themselves to always be on Christmas, hell yeah. As much as we all don't really want to work holidays, in the back of my mind as a Bills fan, good. The Bills will never be out of the zeitgeist in the NFL. Detroit is an outlier in how bad they were for how long they were.
But it is also because Detroit was a staple of the original NFL.
Yep, that they had the Thanksgiving game. You always were going to watch Detroit. You always were going to remember Detroit was a team because of Thanksgiving. Now Kansas City, if they get their way, and it doesn't really appear that it will, but they also are going to play on Christmas 3 years in a row, so maybe they will. If they get their way and they're on Christmas every year going forward for the NFL, as they go global, as they go start going for holidays, the Chiefs will live on well past Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, because they're gonna be Christmas Day. You're gonna watch the Chiefs.
And that's
I'm not saying I want the Bills to definitely be on Christmas every year, but I want something that I can at least hold on to. That when Allen eventually does retire, when McDermott is gone, when Bean's gone, that it's not like the '90s where all of a sudden it's like, okay, everybody, well, we're the second smallest market. We don't spend any money. We don't put any money into scouting and development. And just be thrilled you're here. Just be thrilled you have an NFL team in Buffalo. That is a hollow congratulations of just being an NFL team. Because even then, for many of us, even after the 90s, we had to deal with, well, Toronto might want an NFL team.
Yeah, Buffalo dealt with more relocation drama.
Yeah, let's put a home game for the Bills in Toronto. With the new stadium. And hopefully this rising in popularity, I want there to never be a talk ever that Buffalo was removed from the NFL because they're a staple of the NFL. Green Bay will never be moved out of there. Lambeau will never be touched. They're a staple. And yes, they have the championships from the 60s. I don't disagree with that. That's a big part of this. But they're a staple. I'm hoping the Bills start pushing towards that, because from all of my life up until I was 19, 20, they were a complete afterthought. If they were mentioned on NFL Network on a Monday after Football Sunday, I was thrilled.
It was because they like upset a team they had no business beating.
Yeah. Outside of that, you would get 10 seconds of highlights. You might get a mention of Fred Jackson. I mean, oh, did you know he was in D3? That's crazy. And then they go right to the next team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want my future kids to grow up in that era of, oh, man, when I was growing up, they were this. That sucks for a kid.
I will say this. I don't think that making Hard Knocks changes anything and necessarily allows them to find their way into being like a staple within the NFL. Mm-hmm. One year of Hard Knocks, two weeks doesn't change anything. It is what this court is capable of doing, and it's bringing in everything. You have an MVP who is the cover of, hey, Peacock streams live sports. Here's a picture of Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Or Paramount Plus has him debating whether Josh Allen is going to throw Peppa the Pig.
The Coca-Cola commercial with Megan Thee Stallion and a few other of the NFL players.
The Pepsi. Haunted Buffalo Pepsi.
Mm-hmm. It was Pepsi.
It was Pepsi. Thank you.
Yeah. The Haunted Buffalo Pepsi that I very ill-advised tried on the air.
Let's do it again.
No. The fact that there is a Christmas movie.
Yep.
And bringing in Hard Knocks.
Yeah, it's not just Hard Knocks, but it's another example.
It's not necessarily that. It's that the Bills are bringing it in. Mm-hmm. They are bringing attention to themselves with the play on the field, not because of anything else. You do have to take advantage of this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And try to break through, finally, break the glass ceiling. The amount of run that the Cincinnati Bengals still get from one Super Bowl appearance right now is, I'd say, almost criminal at this point.
Yeah, they've made the playoffs in 2 years, yet I have to continue to hear how scary the Cincinnati Bengals are.
Yeah. So,
and to be fair, a part of me also kind of feels that little bit of fear of like, maybe. Oh, they're really good in December. I don't know. There is something to that of making one Super Bowl, especially in this era, and going, maybe they should always have their due. I think it takes like one win against Kansas City in the playoffs for the Bills to all of a sudden everyone being like, yep,
backflips.
There they are.
Backflips. I'm ruining my spine the minute they do
it. They figured it out. They're there. They're on the run.
Yeah.
803-0550, the number to call. Want to give your thoughts on the Bills getting Hard Knocks. Are you for it? Are you against it? Are you indifferent about it? Are you even going to watch? Not everyone's got HBO subscriptions. I get it. I do.
I don't. I'll find a way.
I steal from my family. I'm going to say that I do. I don't. I steal from my family. It's fine.
Give me Papa Frank's creds.
Not even Papa Frank. Let's go to our first caller. Chris is on the line. Chris, how are we doing today?
Great, guys. How are you?
Doing not well. Too bad.
I completely agree with you about Hard Knocks. I'm super excited. People comparing it to the Bears and, you know, coaches getting fired. If anyone that watched that Hard Knocks and thought that Eberflus was not a joke, I don't know what they were watching. Ryan Poles is a good GM, but Eberflus just came off as horrible. My only concern for our Hard Knocks is that Joe Brady may get more popular and someone may steal him away from us.
I think
that's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, I understand your thought. I'm already just preparing for this being his last year.
Yeah. I think it's more or less.
I understand it, though. I understand.
It's going to happen.
He'll probably come off really well.
It's going to happen anyway. That is also going to boost him.
Also, Chris, on the Matt Eberflus hate, you did not like the first 5 minutes of the first episode talking about his hair? Come on. You didn't think that gave him credibility? I kid. Yeah, he came off not great.
But at the end, I remember like a lot of what the Bears Hard Knocks message was about hope.
Mm-hmm. It was, we have Caleb Williams, you know, we've got, look at all this young talent we have. We've got DJ Moore. Like, oh, yeah. Like they're.
And that is the team controlling the final message.
It reminded me a lot of the Cleveland Browns when they first got Baker. Because then all of a sudden it was like they had Jarvis Landry too. And they're like, we got a playmaker. We got a playmaker. Or the Raiders one with Antonio Brown. We got a playmaker. Like it reminded me a lot of those.
Yeah, the Bills don't have any of that. Mm-hmm. So that's the good news about what Hard Knocks is for Buffalo this year. It's stable. It might. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna hold on to this thought.
Were you gonna say it might be boring?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might be the most dull Hard Knocks we get in a while.
It's because
in terms of the overall message,
yeah,
there are going to be episodes that are great. You have personalities, but we can talk more about that in a bit.
But on that too, it's just like this is breaking new ground. I mean, we mentioned to start, like, typically Hard Knocks were bad football teams that were selling hope, were selling something new was on the horizon for this season. The Bills are selling, hey, you want to see how a good organization is run? Why don't you come on in? It's what was that Cribs TV show on MTV? Like
MTV Cribs.
Yeah, MTV Cribs. It was like hey,
what's that Cribs show on MTV?
I couldn't remember. But they're like, come on in. You want to see my like $6 billion house? I have a movie theater in here. Like that's what this is gonna be. Is you want to see how a well run organization is here? So I mean, like that could be boring. But I also could see a lot of people because we don't – I mean fans do, but we don't always get to see how the good organizations are run. You typically get to see how the bad ones are run. It could be interesting. Also could be dreadfully boring. Let's hit one more call here before our first time out. Linda is up next. Linda, how are we doing this morning?
Hi. I'm doing very well. So I wanted to bring up a point about Hard Knocks. I don't think this HBO crew has any idea – about how Bill's Mafia is going to show up at training camp. We just show up and show out. And I think when they go to these other training camps, it's like, oh, yeah, it's out in the middle of nowhere and people got to drive and blah, blah. I mean, no, it's going to be crazy. It's almost going to be like going to a football game, maybe like 1/10 because St. John Fisher is smaller, of course. But I don't think those HBO people have any idea about how Bill's Mafia is going to show up here. So that's just my comment, and go Bills.
Linda, thanks for the call. I think that's also going to be one of the major storylines is Bill's fandom
I think, and
Bill's Mafia. And, I think it's going to be
And with you saying it like
line.
That, I the only thing I will disagree with on it, it's a good point. I think HBO knows exactly what they're doing.
And that's probably why a big reason why they're like, we want Buffalo.
We want Buffalo.
We want the storyline of this team has never won a Super Bowl. They haven't been one since the 90s.
Oh, my God. The pity party story that can be written about our fan base. They know exactly what they are doing. And I think they will be prepared to have cameras rolling all up on Bills fans walking into St. John Fisher. As a matter of fact, I expect an entire episode dedicated to the fandom.
And we'll be slightly disappointed if we don't get it.
Yes.
803-0550, the number to call. Talking Hard Knocks today as the Bills were officially announced yesterday as the training camp edition recipient for this year. The first time in franchise history. We also do know who will be the in-season representative. It will be the NFC East, as of course the in-season now covers an entire division. That, though, is going to start much later on in the season. It's not actually the full season. It's like the second half of it. But Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, again, taking your calls when we come back. You're listening to WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
You know, offensive linemen don't have awards for being great. There's not a Protector of the Year award. I'm knocking at so many doors now to get this award going. And I'm going to head spirit and make sure that this gets done before I'm done playing, because there's so many greats. And if we have great quarterbacks, we have great running backs, we have rushing titles, we have quarterback passing titles, all those titles are reflections of the O linemen, which are the protectors.
Deion Dawkins, you beautiful man. Before you're done playing? Nah, he got Protector of the Year as an award before the next season.
He got it done in 4 months.
He got it done in 4 months.
Like, he's mentioned it there, and that's back in January during the AFC Championship week.
He cooked about that, and I loved it when he said it.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who played offensive line growing up, mostly because I didn't have a choice, I love this.
Mm-hmm.
It's recognition for the trenches, where an offensive lineman is great when you don't know anything that's going on.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's recognition for maybe the least recognizable position in the sport.
Because if you are recognized on a play, it's not for good reasons.
It's typically a really bad thing.
It's typically, this guy missed the block.
Yeah, our drive just got botched.
This guy
you just
got
let him fly
beat.
By you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What a great move by defensive end on this offensive lineman. Like, Deion Dawkins, I love that it only took 4 months. That's the best part about it.
I will say, it also tells me there was way more people that have kind of wanted this, and they just needed someone to push it
they
and
needed
maybe put
someone
a sales
to say it
plan
out
together. Yeah.
They needed the quiet part said out loud, and Deion Dawkins is absolutely that kind of guy. I love this, and I'm so happy about it. Now, that said, I'm terrified he'll never win it, even though it's his idea, and he is one of the better left tackles in the game.
I think that's probably true.
That's unfair, though.
That's the funny part, is with offensive linemen, there is a tier list. Like, there are guys that you're just like, I mean, they're the best in the game. And they will be for like 8 to 10 years
but
in a row.
That said, Deion is recognizable for offensive linemen.
Yes, he is.
That will help him.
And another thing I'm happy about with
and
Hard Knocks.
And guess what? Deion Dawkins is absolutely getting his own segment in Hard Knocks.
Well, it's not just that. What I'm excited for with Hard Knocks.
And the Protector of the Year is probably going to get a mention in this.
Oh, yeah.
Deion Dawkins had himself a busy offseason.
I can hear Lee Schreiber now. Just narrating it. Like, we all can. What I'm excited for with this, too, is... And I've mentioned it both jokingly, but not so much. I think the Bills don't do the best job at promoting a lot of their players for off-season awards, whether it be All-Pro, Pro Bowl, or actual awards. I think they do an okay, adequate job, but I do get frustrated that
they let their play do it for them.
Which is not enough. And that's why we're regularly talking about a Bill being the most underrated player at their position. With Hard Knocks, you potentially can get the average NFL fan who will vote on a Pro Bowl, get to know Ed Oliver, who I think, based on how the defense has been retooled this year, could be in for a massive season. And instead of being like, he's an underrated defensive tackle, he might be a guy that, you know what, I don't care, overrated. Good. Is he going to get him a Pro Bowl nod when he maybe deserves one? Great. I'm happy for that. As long as that stuff is still in players' contracts, which to my knowledge it still is in terms of getting bonuses and such, I will always be pushing for my players to get those and all pro nods. It gets you in the Hall of Fame. It gets you longer recognition throughout your career. I want that stuff. And for the most part, the Bills' most recognizable players are Deion Dawkins, because he's one of the best personalities in the game and is absolutely going to be in the media when he's done, and Josh Allen. That's it.
Yep.
Spencer Brown might be a better right tackle than Deion Dawkins is a left tackle. Bills fans know Spencer Brown. That's about it.
Exclusively. That's it.
That's about it.
And that's also because offensive linemen are best known for not being known.
Correct.
Especially on the right side.
But then you also have it where some of these guys don't do their own pitching for themselves. Matt Milano may be the best example. The guy doesn't talk. And that's fine. You don't always have to be your own PR rep. But I'd like to see maybe in a comeback year for him, getting healthier, him to get more recognition. Or maybe not just him, the other linebackers. Terrell Bernard, who is a turnover specialist in the NFL and has been a very, very good middle linebacker for the Bills. Maybe he starts to get some recognition. It's a little thing. It maybe doesn't happen. But a lot of these Bills players on a very good roster regularly, I'm not saying great roster. I think it's a very good roster, a really good roster, but not a great roster. Very rarely get the recognition I think they deserve. I'm not saying the Bills deserve 10 Pro Bowlers. But they probably deserve more than two last year when the initial voting came out.
Yeah.
And that's more my thing. Is that I'd like to see more of these Bills players actually get known, because this is not a team that's been good for 2 years. They've been good for like six, seven. They've won five straight AFC East titles. They're regularly winning playoff games. You see Orchard Park all the time on primetime football.
As a matter of fact, the Bills have five more this year.
Mm-hmm.
They had six last year. They are a team that gets shown in front of the country now. This is not an accident. It's not even a flash in the pan like Cleveland was.
Right.
Like you said, it is. You've won five straight division titles. You are very much now universally this year picked for six.
Yeah. Universally, it's like if it's not six, something drastic has gone wrong.
Yeah, something has gone wrong and nobody likes it.
Yeah, they can't even say like, oh no, Miami just really discovered it. No, something horribly wrong went down in Buffalo.
Something at least decently wrong happened where it cost the Bills like five games. That's how bad the rest of the division is. And it's like, yeah, no, this is a unanimous pick right now, Buffalo winning the AFC East.
They're favored in every game this year.
And that's the difference between last year and this year where I'm perfectly fine with Hard Knocks is there's no questions about the division.
Yeah.
It's almost disgusting, actually.
803-0550, the number two call. Let's go back to the phones. Julian is up first in this segment. Julian, you're on WGR. How we doing?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Doing well ourselves.
Good. Real quick, man, shout out to our Buffalo Bandits. Can't miss the Buffalo. Let's get that three-piece Saturday, man. I'm amped. I'm hyped. Let's go Bandits. Glad you brought up Deion Dawkins, man. Well-deserved. My question to that award, like to every award, how would it be voted upon? Like, let's take the Bills offense into a dynamically run offense. You can go whatever team you want, and this lineman has zero sacks, but that team runs dominantly compared to a Bills team where, you know how we go. We pass every other down, and Josh Allen runs for like 10 seconds in the backfield. So let's say Deion Dawkins is up but got five sacks on his board compared to another team who got zero, but the dynamic of both offenses, that's the only thing. We're going to worry about that when the time comes, but that's my biggest question when it comes down to how someone's going to win this award. Other than that, I'm excited for Hard Knocks. I'm glad it's for a mini camp because we don't have the media in our faces during the season.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely huge because we have a big battle in the cornerback room and defensive front. We have a lot of rookies and a lot of guys that are fighting for positions. So I definitely believe Hard Knocks is going to be a great watch for not only Bills fans, but for the entire NFL fans because definitely going to be iron sharp as iron and a lot of guys going to be battling out there. But, man, love hearing you guys every day. Nothing but love. And go Bills. Go Bandits. Let's go.
Thanks, Julian. Yeah, and I want to mention the Protector of the Year thing. I like that it's going to be voted on by former offensive linemen. These guys know it. They're going to watch the tape. They're probably not going to look at all of the statistics and measurables. They're going to look at the tape.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to look at the tape on some of these guys. And some of it's going to have to do with a little bit of campaigning. Good teams are going to have more favor in this. Deion Dawkins is going to have himself a favorable position. The Bills are good. And if that offensive line does what it does last year, which is staying healthy all throughout, and
would they go eight games without giving up a sack? Something
yeah.
like that? Yeah, if that happens again.
If that happens again, that favors a guy like Dawkins.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to favor a team like, I mean, granted, it's not a good offensive line, but like Kansas City, because they win, is going to get attention.
Also, though, you could get negative attention if it's a bull rush on a primetime game, but even just one.
Yeah, but also Detroit.
Yeah, I was thinking Detroit.
Detroit is absolutely going to have players up Penny for Soul. This. Denver, if they continue their step, is going to be a team with players that are going to be in this sort of conversation. I think that the Protector of the Year needs to have a tackle, center, guard subdivision, and I hope they do that. If they don't, you are competing with all five positions on the line, and I'm going to tell you right now, the centers and guards are going to get overlooked. The right tackles are going to get overlooked.
This will very quickly be the Heisman Trophy, where it's like it's actually a quarterback
it's
award,
actually,
except for outlier years.
It's actually left tackles only, and it's going to turn into that.
Mm-hmm.
Or centers maybe, but I'm rarely going to see a guard in this conversation.
Yeah.
So I would like it to be a subdivision for each position: center, guard, tackle.
I'm
looking probably like you're also looking at all pro votes and how those are campaigned
right.
to those
yes.
voters.
Yes.
I do like that offensive linemen, former offensive linemen, are going to be the ones chiming in on this because they are going to know what to look for on a routine basis. You know who I'm going to love to talk to about this? Ross Tucker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ross knows his stuff. He has been in that. He's been in the show. He's been in the forefront.
I mean, Ross, Eric.
Ross, like, Eric,
I mean,
yeah.
We've got a few guys for the Bills.
And matter of fact, having both of them there as pro Bills guys, that might help.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely, though. Baltimore is going to be another one. Tyler Linebaum is one of the best centers in the NFL.
100%.
And for some reason, the Ravens always have 18 Pro Bowlers.
It just bothers me. How did Tyler Huntley become a Pro Bowler?
The world may never know.
That needs to be investigated.
Much like how many licks it takes to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop, the world will never know.
Needs to be investigated.
It needs to be investigated, but we will never find
out. Someone bought bots on Twitter. I know it.
It's,
I know it in my heart.
It's buried like the cask of Amontillado, okay?
There you go.
The secrets have died with society.
I am very excited, though, that offensive linemen will be the ones voting on this. Because maybe
yes,
more than any position.
They know what to look
yeah,
for.
Yeah. I need them doing it. Where quarterback, we can all kind of watch. No, we won't have necessarily the minutia. But we can all kind of watch and see. Receivers, I think
yeah.
the same thing. You know, cornerbacks, they might be a little bit tricky. Safeties kind of the same. A few defensive players might be a little tricky. But offensive linemen, that is one where PFF has routinely gotten under fire from former offensive linemen and current offensive linemen going, guys, you don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing on this play.
Yeah.
And yet you're docking me for something I actually did well.
Yeah.
And what have you. So to see offensive linemen, former offensive linemen, be the ones that are voting on it, that gives a lot more credibility to the award rather than just – it's going to be Lane Johnson because we all know he's the best tackle.
Right.
But I will say, I do hope we do get to that point of subdivisions because I do worry it becomes an award that is a lot like the Heisman Trophy
guards
now.
Guards will never get considered.
Yeah, where it's all quarterbacks except for super outlier years. Like Quentin Nelson,
mm-hmm.
a number of years ago,
probably
would have
wins
won.
It.
But he would have been like one guard in like 12 years.
Yes.
Because outside of that, it would have just been a bunch of tackles. Maybe Zach Martin.
Martin, yeah.
Pulls one.
But that's the thing is that there are a couple of well-known guards, but left tackles carry the weight. They carry the bread.
Mm-hmm.
They get paid the most.
Yep.
So there is a little bit of a bias there.
Mm-hmm.
I would like there to be a bye position because, again, I feel like one of them is going to get overlooked. And also, centers do not get talked about often enough either.
No, they really don't.
They really don't. And they are the linchpin of an offensive line in the protection scheme.
Yeah, the only time you talk about a center is when they're bad or you lost a good one.
Yes.
Because then it's like, well, wait a second. How are the protections going to get set? How's the offensive line going to do now that the quarterback of the O-line is gone? What's happening? The whole thing. That's the only time you really talk about centers is
exactly.
when you're in a disaster scenario where they're openly bad or you're losing a good one. The Bills just went through this when Mitch Morse left. A lot of us were worried about like what is going to happen.
And that's the nervous system of an offensive line that just walked out the door. What's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was nothing. We're going to march on while keeping the beat. And that's exactly what that was. Thanks to everyone that's called so far as we've been getting connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll take a timeout, come back, wrap up hour number one here. Bills, Hard Knocks. How you feeling about it? We're talking about that and more here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you will receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Hard Knocks for the Bills, officially announced yesterday. I think we're both pretty excited about it.
Again, it's not excitement more than it is, this is the time to do it.
Well, Zach's pretty excited about it.
Yes, you can be super jazzed about this. Selfishly, the only reason I'm like jazzed about it is, hey, Hard Knocks is here for the Bills, and I have something to reach for in the first preseason game.
I didn't know if you'd bring up the preseason point.
I'm absolutely bringing it up right now. As someone who hosts to open preseason action for pregame, the first one to sit in here for preseason, I'm actually very happy about this. I also know that that happiness is going to be fleeting because once that show is done.
Yeah, you run out fast.
No, no, ready? It's also, I'm not getting the opportunity to do it like that to open a preseason ever again.
That's right. Yeah, you kind of get the 1 year and yes. Let it ride.
I'm getting the 1 year of Hard Knocks for my preseason opener, and then it's back to, oh God, what do we do?
We'll find you a camp hero. Don't worry. Bills Mafia won't let you down. We'll find you a camp hero.
But the thing is that Hard Knocks will also find you a
camp
hero.
That's right. So you'll have multiple.
Yes.
You'll have multiple ready to go.
Multiple ready to go.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
So I'm pleased simply for that. To the tweet sheet.
Let's do it.
A little bit. On the Hard Knocks thing. David just tweeting in a GIF of Daniel Bryan. Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's where I'm at.
Steve.
Thank you, David.
Steve tweets in, I guess it's kind of like being called for jury duty. Nobody really wants to do it, but it's part of life as a U.S. citizen or, in this case, an NFL franchise. Just be you and make the best of it. He's absolutely right. Again, my femur is telling me that they didn't want this at all. And, I never truly know this, but my guess is most coaches don't want this. And that's perfectly normal. That said, get it out of the way. Don't talk to me for 8 years until you bring up the AFC East for the end of the season.
I just love the comparing it to jury duty.
I love that. It's great.
I think the same way, though, have the mindset you have with jury duty. With Hard Knocks, hey, we're going to make the most of this. We're going to sell the brand. We're going to build up some of our players. It's going to be great. And better yet, we're in a good spot. You know, it's not a bunch of people, you know, kind of scared of the cameras worrying, am I going to get fired after this year because we're not good?
This isn't a murder trial for a jury duty. This is just like...
not even that. Treat jury duty, right, because it's not a murder trial. This is just civic duty, what have you. Vacation for my job. It's vacation for my actual job. Well, it's not a horrible case. We're going to get through it.
It's not a high-profile case.
We're fine.
I'm not going to have to, like, avoid all the cameras. Well, in this, you actually cannot avoid the cameras in this case. But Kevin tweeting in, never watched a single episode, so I truly don't care. Hope it's not a disruption. Again, we covered this in the first segment. The Bills are good enough that it's not a disruption.
Mm-hmm.
The schedule is so weak that it can't be a disruption.
Except week one. Week one's going to be fun.
Week one, though, is going to be, that's a good focus point.
Yeah. The rematch of the AFC divisional round right away.
Right away.
I'm so surprised that game was week one.
I'm not.
I work in the afternoons, and Mike Shope's big on building the schedule. I had gotten there with him, too, of like, it's too attractive early. You wait a little bit to build that game up because it'll play into the AFC playoff picture. And the NFL's like, nah,
no,
we'll just have it be week one. We don't care.
I'm the opposite. You got to set the tone.
Yeah, it's setting the tone.
Thursday night is Eagles Cowboys. What if Dallas is Dallas?
Dallas is Dallas, yeah.
You need to set the tone.
And to be fair, Monday night is Chicago and Minnesota. J.J. McCarthy versus a Chicago team that really, at this point, I think we've all kind of been burned on. They won the offseason. Here they come.
And NBC is banking on what happened last year in the regular season between these two. Mm-hmm. Does not again.
Yeah.
You got to set the tone. Power matchup in week one.
I can't wait for
1,000%.
I think I'm more excited for that matchup. And we'll see if I'm still here in August than I was for the Jets matchup. It has not reached the levels of the Thursday night, you're at LA against the Rams Super Bowl. That has easily been my favorite opener of my life. And unless they win the Super Bowl and are hosting the next year, it's probably not going to be topped. That was genuinely a joy to watch that entire game and even the build-up to it. But the Jets... That was exciting with Aaron Rodgers, all that.
And then lasted four plays.
But I.
And then the Bills lost to Zach Wilson.
But then I also liked week one being like, oh, it's Arizona, 1-0. Let's go.
Yep.
1-0. Let's ride.
Vote Quimby tweeting in, whoever wins Protector of the Year, how much you want to bet PFF will hate it and completely disagree with the choice. Their numbers are constantly coming out with O-line rankings that seem completely different from the consensus or what the eye test shows. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, Quimby, 1,000%. PFF is probably going to be like, oh, this guy won Protector of the Year? He was our 46th rated offensive lineman. And it's like, how?
I wonder, though, now, with it being an award, do they start bringing on some of the people that'll be voting to get a better idea of how they actually should be grading these guys? I wonder. I wonder if that's going to be a thing. Because before, you could just grade it, and it's like, okay, who cares? It's offensive lineman. Now there's an award attached here. So maybe they will start to, hey, all right, who's voting on this? Let's get, what are you guys seeing before we put out the grades? 803-0550, the number two call. Talking Hard Knocks. Do also, though, want to touch on the playoffs from yesterday. I watched all of Knicks Pacers, and oh boy.
Oh no.
That was an iconic matchup with an iconic rivalry. We'll talk a little bit more on that after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Halliburton. He'll take it. He'll backpedal. A three for the win. And oh! He got it! I got to make sure he got all the way behind the line.
That's right.
He certainly got it off in plenty of time.
Oh, I think that's a two.
That is a two. You're right.
I think that's going to be a two.
That only ties the game. That ties the game.
We're going to be going to overtime.
We sure are.
So much fun. From that play from Halliburton, thinking he won it, puts up the choking symbol toward the Knicks faithful.
Oh, man.
And they have to play overtime, but who cares? Because the Pacers beat the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
138 to 135 in overtime last night for game one of the Eastern Conference Final. Let the hate continue on for the Pacers and the Knicks. Drama where drama is supposed to be. I just like that it was cold-blooded. Reggie Miller's on the call. Halliburton pays homage to Miller, who's on the call.
And laughing like a supervillain.
Because he knows the moment. He did it. And he sees this is Halliburton paying homage to the franchise. And to him in this moment. And he's loving every second of this, even if it's a tie game.
Oh, he's in cloud nine. Well, because even if it's a tie game, the shot's incredible.
Well, is so dramatic. Yeah. It bounces. That thing goes up in the air.
You don't hear it in the call. It is not a smooth all net. It goes up into the air, then sinks. Then you have the reaction of, did he hit a three? No, it's only a two. But really,
roller coaster.
The big part of that and why the overtime started good for the Knicks, but I don't think any Knicks fan was thinking they had a shot in overtime. Derek, with 52 and a half seconds left in the game, the Knicks led 121 to 112.
How many?
121 to 112, the Knicks led the game.
But with how many seconds left?
52 and a half seconds.
You got to make a stop.
Halliburton ends up.
Holy.
Halliburton ends up becoming the hero, quote unquote, or
the villain, depending on who you ask.
But he becomes the face of this. I don't want to say he's the hero because that's not right. But he becomes the face of this because he hits the choke, he hits the shot, he's great in overtime. He ultimately ends up with 31 points. He leads the Pacers in points. He was incredible last night. It's Aaron Naismith who causes all of this mayhem. Derek, he went 8 of 9 from three. He hit 6 in a row.
8 of 9?
He hit 6 in a row. Some of them were legitimate prayer shots of just like, I got to get this off. Oh, it went in. Okay, we keep moving. It was like watching.
Yeah, because when you're down that much with so little to go.
You're chucking it up.
You have no choice but prayer shot.
Then you have, a missed goaltending call for the Knicks. Then OG Anunoby goes up there. He bricks a free throw. I mean, just everything collapsed for the Knicks. But even still, it felt like, well, no, I mean, they're going to win. There's not much time left. This isn't even the first time the Pacers have done this playoffs. They did this against Milwaukee. They did this against Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, to this dramatic, but in terms of, like, these late comebacks were just out of literal nowhere. They'll put up, like, a 12-0 run in, like, a minute, and you're like, oh, it's a tie game. What the hell? It, like, and for it being this rivalry, I wasn't really alive or watching basketball when Knicks-Pacers was at its peak. I mean, you know, Reggie Miller hits the choke, I think, for the first time in 1994 in his famous 25 points in the fourth quarter game. A series, by the way, they ultimately end up going on to lose in seven. But I know about the hate, the vitriol of Pacers-Knicks. And we got it a little bit last year in the Eastern Conference semifinals. But ultimately by game seven, the Knicks are hurt to hell and the Pacers go on to win. And then they ultimately do get kind of whooped on by Boston. Now you just boost this up even more, the intensity, because it's the second year in a row they're doing this. It is the same faces. It is Halliburton versus Brunson. And they both took down Giants. Indiana took down the number one seed in the East in Cleveland. They whooped them.
Yeah.
And then New York.
Put them away.
Oh, put them away. And then New York, even before the Tatum injury, two 20-point comebacks to take a 2-0 series lead. And even in the game Jason Tatum is hurt, they're up 9. With 2 minutes to go and are in complete cruise control. They were doing what the Pacers were ultimately doing, where they were just growing with the game and just taking over. Most would agree Boston's probably not winning that game. So they take a 3-1 series lead there, and they're ultimately able to finish it up in six. But so both have had even better seasons than last year. And last year was still awesome. And for that to happen in game one,
I love, though, that the Eastern Conference is going to either have the Indiana Pacers or the New York Knicks as its representative. And I love that it is such a peak rivalry.
Yeah.
That was – remember how we were talking yesterday about, like, how upset I am about the NHL postseason, mm-hmm. and how they try to force rivalries on you in the division?
Yeah.
This is one of the most authentic pieces of hate
organically
in sports.
Made. Yep.
Organic, authentic, original recipe hatred born strictly out of, yeah, you are not division rivals, but you see each other in the playoffs, and by God, I am seeing blood. After this game, if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm starting to wonder what the state of Indiana has against
me.
It's
so good. It's so good.
I know it's not personal, but as a Knicks fan, I'm starting to take that personally if that's the case. This is the bad blood kind of thing. Feed it to me. I need seven.
Well, I agree.
I need seven, and I don't care how you do it, as grossly or as incompetently as possible, get me seven games. Somebody screw up big time. Well, guess what? The Knicks took care of it with game one. They decided not to get a single defensive stop with 50 seconds left.
Bad. It was so bad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, watching Naismith, I mean, like, he had to have sacrificed at least three goats. Like, Derek, some of the shots he was making.
To go 8 of 9 is unconscious.
You're like, this is devilry.
Well,
like,
think about it,
right? We talk about it with Kansas City. That's what it was. What is happening?
Elite three-point shooting. What are we looking at for percentages? What, 40%?
I mean,
For consistent elite three-point shooting? Like, you might need to help me out on this.
His season, he was a 43% three-point shooter.
8 of 9.
Yeah.
Is unconscionable. Like, I don't understand how you could be that hot from beyond the arc, especially with low percentage shots and prayer balls.
Now, ultimately, his season percentage would tell you he's one of the better three-point shooters in the league. Like, 43% in the NBA is awesome.
But that's still hilarious.
But 8 of 9, hitting 6 in a row.
That's the part where it's like, all right, there's no business for why this should keep happening. And for Knicks fans, that is the latest excuse of why us.
And I think even to add to the rivalry, and I know there's Knicks fans, and I would guarantee there's neutral fans that don't like this. I love that Reggie Miller's on the call.
Oh, my God.
I love these part of the broadcasting team. And there was a picture yesterday. I liked it. I'm going to retweet it as well, of him smiling and pointing at Halliburton.
As he's paying homage.
And I'm like, and you said it, that blood, like that's like for Reggie, it all came back, and he's like,
it's, "Oh yeah,
get him."
He's laughing.
Get him. Put your moment for this franchise. Get him.
He is giggling with the evil that he has handed to that Knicks franchise in the past. And again, if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm wondering what the state of Indiana has against me.
Nothing. Just Reggie Miller likes to trash talk, and he hurts you a lot. And that's awesome.
That's the thing. If I say Reggie Miller in front of a Knicks fan in New York,
you get eye rolls.
I'm getting hand. No, yeah. I'm getting hands. Getting hands. I'm getting fisticuffs. I'm getting a knuckle sandwich involuntarily.
Oh man, it was just the game was perfect. And to be fair, the Knicks were up by so much. I was keeping an eye on the game, but I the last two nights I've jumped back and forth between the two games,
right?
Because they've been starting either literally the same time last night or were projected to. The NHL started like 8:25 after it was supposed to start like 8, whatever. Ridiculous. I hate that stuff. But I was jumping back and forth, and ultimately, I was paying attention more to the hockey at the time because Edmonton kept taking penalties. So I watched them go up 3-1. Beautiful goal, by the way. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, Dallas made a comeback here. I'm gonna keep going back. And then I think they took the lead. I think Dallas took the lead. I'm like, all right, let's go back to the NBA game. We'll see the end of that, and we'll go back to NHL. And I see Naismith hit like 3 straight threes, and I'm like, now wait, now I can't leave this. I got to watch this through.
And Dallas is like, don't worry, we got you covered. We're going to win 6-3.
Yeah, we'll take care of this.
You know, so annoying.
No drama. We're going to dominate the third period because Edmonton can't stop taking penalties. Was it 3 straight power play goals?
Cool. Give us the least fascinating idea of a finals between Florida and Dallas. That's what everyone wants.
Let's go.
There's no Rantanen storyline. There's no rematch storyline. There's just, hey, can you stop the back-to-back from happening, Dallas?
Yeah, can you stop
also,
the mini-dynasty?
Also, that would mean I need Dallas to stop a back-to-back? No. I pray for the downfall of the Dallas Stars just so I can get Jason Robertson off that team.
Oh, that's nice. At least you're being selfish about it. That's good.
I mean, I'm also being selfish about it because...
Well, do you want Robertson off the Dallas Stars to get him to Buffalo or just off the Dallas Stars entirely?
Yes.
Okay. I'll take that answer. That's fine.
The answer's just yes.
But so watching...
I will have nothing but contempt to the end of my days for the Dallas Stars.
But watching the end of that Knicks game and then into overtime. I mean, I was standing the entire time. I was like, let's go. My house is completely asleep. It's like 8... Or it's like 11:30 and I'm having to completely control myself to not wake up dogs. I am losing my mind. And I know the ratings number is going to hit for this. I really hope it gets a little bit of a boost for the Western Conference.
Yes.
Because that was the story, like outside of like the traditional rivalry, the storyline in the Western Conference is probably more interesting long term because Ant for Minnesota is kind of considered by most accounts the likely future American face of the league, if not just the outright face of the league. He's a developing talent. He's only 23. Like he's on
like
a fast
Anthony
track.
Edwards is a fun player to watch in the NBA.
And he trash talks, and there's a lot of fun to it. He's very vocal. And Oklahoma City owns every draft pick for like the next 7 years, and they already have a young team that is very good defensively, and they've got the MVP by most accounts.
And all year they played the best basketball
of the
NBA.
By a mile. I mean, their defense is historic almost in terms of a lot of the metrics they go on. But funny enough, like most Pacers-Knicks series to get to the finals, it almost feels like a coronation for the Western Conference team. That ultimately, you're thrilled to be there, but you're going to lose to the Spurs or the Lakers, or in this case, one of Minnesota or OKC. And yet, I mean, I mentioned in the first hour, the ratings number for game one of the Western Conference Finals was down like, I think, 24% from last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was the lowest watched one since 2020. Or 2021, I believe. I wonder if this gets a bump now, but also game one kind of turned into a blowout. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, for him winning the MVP, went to the foul line a lot.
And some of it
was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, some of it was pretty egregious. I saw the highlights of it, and I'm like, oh, boy.
And look like does he drive a lot? Yes. And ultimately for Oklahoma City, I think they're like 26th in the league in terms of actual free throws attempted per game. It is not Oklahoma City. It is specifically SGA. He is number one in the league in terms of free throw attempts. And that was where I think a lot of people were kind of getting frustrated because most of these playoffs have been back to the old days of unless you're bleeding, you're probably not getting a whistle.
Yep.
I mean, you saw it last night for Knicks Pacers. I mean, It was a hard-fought game, and it doesn't seem to be the same for SGA, and that was a big problem. So I'm interested to see if a lot more people check in for tonight's game, or if it's more just give me to game two of Indiana-New York.
I will say Indiana-New York, it's a big deal here, and like we have ESPN on, and ESPN is ESPN at this point. Mm-hmm. But again, this old-fashioned cooking of rivalry and hatred. Stephen A. brings up his five most traumatic moments of the New York Knicks in the postseason. Three of them feature the Pacers, one of them being last night.
That's so good.
That is amazing. And again, having Reggie Miller...
It's specifically worst New York Knicks memories. That's awesome.
Yeah, his worst five Knicks playoffs memories. And it's three of them have the Pacers on it. Three of them involve the Indiana Pacers. Absolutely keep Reggie Miller on those calls. TNT, you did it right.
Well, and even the TNT truck going to him, pointing to Halliburton, fanning the flames.
Yes, that was the right call.
Sports is the best story out there. It is
sometimes
the best reality
television.
Really
is, and
it's so good.
That is,
it's so good.
Keeping Miller on that broadcast allows for that hate to flow, because if the Knicks go away winning comfortably in a game, for example, Miller will have some sort of discomfort about having to say nice things about them, especially now that Game One unlocked the past in his heart.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I don't listen to Reggie Miller constantly, so he may always be trashing the Knicks. I don't know.
But it unlocked his heart.
But you know him calling this series and having that moment. You're right. It's turned something back on of him being like, yeah, I hate New York.
He's like, it's more or less just like, oh, yeah, baby. It's crook. Oh, yeah, it's all coming together.
It's all coming together.
It's all coming together.
And to be fair, we also don't know, like, if Oklahoma City or Minnesota are going to be like those Laker teams of the 2000s or those San Antonio Spurs teams of the 2000s. The winner of the Eastern Conference, I think there's still maybe a chance that they can win the NBA title. They're not going to be favored. But the way Indiana plays on offense, you have to be awesome defensively.
Yeah.
You have to be amazing because they are a thrill ride to watch. Their best player, Tyrese Halliburton, is much more of a passer. He's a facilitator. But last night, even with a guy going 8 of 9 from 3, he led the team in points at 31.
And he had 11 assists, so that dishing is still something in his game that is very comfortably there. The man was everywhere, actually.
So good.
That's
such
the thing.
A good game. And also, by the way, 11 assists. He only had 2 turnovers. That kind of puts into a picture how good Tyrese Halliburton is. And I will tell you, and I tweeted it last night, he's not a player I'm going to go find his highlights on YouTube or Indiana's on, I got to watch it. And part of that is they're the Pacers. I get it. And it may be hypocritical of me. But watching last night, for him to have the gusto, the courage, I think almost in a way, to hit the choke sign.
Yeah.
Even if you hit a 3, to have that kind of attitude in the modern NBA, which for a lot of years has kind of gone away from trash talking. A lot of the guys have the same agents. They're all friends. Mm-hmm. They all want to play together. Man, I earned some respect for you, dude. And then for you to still ball out after you found out it was a 2 to go win the game? Yep.
By the way, yep. It's also a big deal because remember the old adage, it's never a series until somebody loses at home. The Pacers for the regular season were 20-20 on the road.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, a mid team, when it comes to its road performances, steals one on the road here. Good luck playing in Indiana at that point.
Oh, that building's going to be raucous. I mean, now Friday night's back in New York, but
imagine that. Like, you're coming back at least with one win.
Well, and that's the thing.
That's
too.
A big deal. You're coming back with one win,
and that's the thing too. And this is why I love series playoff. Structure football, you can't do it, but I love it in every sport that does it. The Knicks now are desperate to get game. They have to get game two. You had game one. It was over. I mean, we mentioned it. With 52 seconds left, you led 121-112. The game should have been done. You led by 14 with about 2 minutes and 45 seconds left. The game was, and you lost it. If you now go.
They score 13 points in 52 seconds.
Yep.
You need to not just to get a stop, but Halliburton's play, he spins away. Mm-hmm. He then retreats toward the 3-point line. He did not care to tie it.
Yeah.
So he went for the kill shot.
His foot just happened to be on the line.
Happened to be on the line. But to make that decision of, no, screw overtime, we're winning this right now, that is a villain moment. Because if you miss that,
You'll lose the game, yeah.
You lose the game, and you don't even have a chance at overtime because you retreated away when you had an opportunity to just pull up and shoot the thing. He took comfortably a couple steps back, gets to the three-point line, and he makes the decision. And then that first bounce, and it's like, oh, no. And then it just goes straight up and down. And that's the fascinating part, is how that thing bounced. For it to fall then perfectly into place is like, okay, that's a little nuts.
One of the storylines I am looking for, Friday, starts at 8 o'clock on TNT. How do the Knicks respond?
Yeah.
That is going to be tough. How do you respond? You got 40 points out of Jalen, I think 43 points out of Jalen Brunson, and he still lost in overtime.
43 from Brunson, 35 from Karl-Anthony Towns. You got 16 from Bridges and from OG. Like, this is – your starters were your starters.
But they got a thin bench. They run nine guys.
They run
–
yeah.
Maybe.
They didn't even run – yeah, they ran nine guys that got minutes, but like
– in reality, it's a seven-man rotation.
You got 17 points off the bench. Not that Indiana did much better here. Yes, they did.
Yeah, they're a deeper roster. New York has their starting five, and then Mitchell Robinson and
Miles
McBride.
They got 31.
Yeah.
They got 31 points off the bench.
New York has their starting five, and then Mitchell Robinson and Miles McBride off the bench. That's it. That's what they've got. And that is such a soul-crushing loss in game one. In game one. And so, like, I do want to, like, make it – the series is not over. But to be at home, to lose that game, that is something you have to somehow figure out how to get past. Because you had it, and then they snatched your soul. And it was the same with Boston too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, in the last series against New York, like, they needed to win game two, and when they didn't, even though they were still somewhat favored, there was already rumblings with how good they shot the ball. No, you're already in a bad spot. You're already in a tough spot.
Yeah, and
New York's not as talented as Boston.
Now, there's plenty still to go with it. It's just game one. Anything can happen here. But man, that's the drama you want to start a conference final.
100%.
And I would love that if the NHL followed suit with either of their playoff series. And we'll talk more about that. I've got some things to say about the hockey games that have been going on, including things don't look good for Rochester. Friday is do or die in Laval.
803-0550, the number to call. You want to jump on the show? Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. You're listening to WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
We have your tickets to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf card. For just one low price of $129, unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf and score deals at Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse on Transit in Bowmanville. Portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at getmyperks.com. Terrible news for me, as anyone looking outside can see. My golf plans potentially for this weekend are just going down the drain. Just, they're not happening. I'm sorry, Josh.
We have simulators.
We have simulators. That's right.
The indoors do exist.
But man, I want to be outside. I spent all of last weekend outside. I felt 10 years younger. It was amazing. The warm weather, the sun, I was in heaven.
Just looking at the sun. Now, don't actually look at the sun.
I know what you're saying. Yep.
But
yep.
Seeing the light of the sun, it does wonders for you.
Seasonal depression is a thing. I fully admit that. But like, just when you can open up the windows in your house, or you can roll down the windows when you're driving, that's the best, man.
Having a hot dog that you grilled on the back porch after a round of golf, sitting on that back porch, listening to the birds.
It's the best, baby.
It's enough to heal you there. That's why I'm okay with winter, because I just have to do 5 minutes of that, of sitting outside, and I'm good with it. I'm better.
That's maybe one of my top three self-therapies. Number one is something I discovered this year, is when you have nowhere else to go, and you got a layover at a big airport, and you're traveling alone. That's number one for me. Mm-hmm. I discovered that coming back from Austin, sitting in the Charlotte airport, nowhere to go. I had a 3-hour layover, and I was just hanging out. I had my book. I went to a restaurant. I had a few adult beverages. I watched the Bills game. Not a care in the world. I was healed. Honestly, I was healed. It was a 3-day vacation for me just to go see the Longhorns play football. It felt like a week and a half long vacation. It's one of my the weather, those are some self-therapies right there. And then probably number three, a great dinner. Doesn't have to be super expensive, but a restaurant you love to go to.
Making a great dinner.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, if you're a big cooking person, yes. Me, I get very nervous in the kitchen. I do not have the culinary touch. Taco Bell. There we go. I do not have the culinary touch my brother has. My brother's like full on, like he went to culinary school. I don't have that.
Zach's getting one quesadillas.
Sounds great, by the way. But like going to a nice restaurant that you love, you and your partner love, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No better feeling. Love it.
Here's something not to love, though. For me, I'm getting annoyed with the fact of we might see a Dallas-Florida series, and it's like, okay, cool. I don't even get the Miko Rantanen story beat in this one. Sure, and I need to see the Dallas Stars try to break up a 2-in-a-row. Awesome. Like, yay, fun, wonderful, wow. Meanwhile, the ice is continuing not to treat me well and kicking me while I'm down because 15 seconds in last night, Laval scores.
Yeah.
And the third period ends up just all Rocket, Rochester losing 4-1 in game 3. You're seeing it. Like, game 2 was that game where everyone kind of showed up. The big guys were the guys. We talked to Sal Mariana. He had waxed mm-hmm. poetic about it. I went to that game. It was awesome. And if it seems like this is going to be how it goes there, I don't know what to do.
It's tough. I was seeing Chaddy Dominicis tweeted this last night talking about Levi.
And that's where I was going to go with this. Is
8.35 save percentage the series through 3 games. Also, though, throughout the playoffs, because I think part of this series, he's dropped to 9.15 a save percentage, which is 17th among 20 qualified goaltenders. Great in round 1. Round 2 has hurt him.
Back-to-back shutouts to close the series will do that.
That'll help.
And the thing is that there's also a difference between Syracuse and AHL leading Laval.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are the best team in the American Hockey League this year, and it's bar none. Rochester, had kept up with them for good parts of the season. Yep. But ultimately, there are three games at home in Laval for a reason. Rochester needs to win tomorrow night to stay alive. Otherwise, their season is over. I'm hoping that we get one more out of this. Mostly because, hey, I would love to see if they can close it out. Come back and close it out.
Would game five, if they can force it, be Sunday?
I
didn't know totally their schedule. I would assume they would just go in that run.
It would be Sunday 4:30.
Oh, nice.
So that would be a big deal. Yeah, it's more or less like Rochester's limiting the amount of shots that are getting through. Levi's being beaten on high-quality chances.
Mm-hmm.
He made 16 saves on 20 shots. It's not enough.
Yeah.
You need to make sure you're closing it down. I don't know if it's, you know, the extra pressure of playing from home, but it's also, LaFalle's a really good team. They led the AHL for a reason, and they're also probably trying to get in his face. Caden Primo got his second win of the series. He did not start game two, oddly enough.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the weird part.
Yeah, all right, interesting.
It was Fowler in net, not Primo. I'm very fascinated by that.
It worked.
It worked. It's worked out now that Primo's back in the net. But I'm hoping to see one more for Rochester, at least one more game. I'm not as worried about the fact that, like, yeah, you might lose game five, but I want there to be a game five.
Give them a chance.
Give it a chance.
Yep.
Give us a chance to be happy.
They've been such a good team in the AHL the last few years, but they have run into these teams where...
And that's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, they're not. I'm not demanding a Calder Cup every year, but it just you've seen it these last few years where they run into a team, Hershey. I think either last year or a few years ago.
It's always Hershey.
Where it was just like, oh, okay, that's the end of the line. That's the one.
So the other part of this is, if I want to be pitched at all, the idea of Levi and Luukkonen next year. Levi needs to step up because that's how you're going to get there. That's how you get to the conference final, is because Devin Levi's got to be better. If it ends like this, you're looking at getting a veteran addition, and Levi is playing the whole year in Rochester. You cannot sell me on Levi coming in here if the playoffs end like this for him.
Well, I'm glad you said it like that, too, because I think that's really what it is it's selling to the fans. If your last image of Levi, and it may be a short or small sample size, it may just be this series, but if that's the lasting image of this year of, oh, yeah, Levi didn't play very well, and then you go to the big boy team and go, well, actually, guys, he's going to be our 1B to Luukkonen 1A, you're already having a tough time selling the team to fans now. I mean, we're sitting here dreaming up pipe dreams of Mitch Marner and right. such. I mean, we're already having a tough time as is.
We are grasping at straws to find ways to generate excitement, hope, conversation that isn't the same old, oh, the Sabres are terrible, here's why they're terrible.
Yeah.
It's easy, but it gets boring. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do the same old thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again about talk about the Sabres. Mm-hmm. I do want to have different wrinkles to this. If Devin Levi does this, I cannot be sold on, yeah, we're going to try the Luukkonen and Levi thing again. No. That means get fired. If you try to pitch that. Not a good idea. Maybe promote Eric Staal at that point. I don't know what to tell you. If that's your plan.
I mean, there we go.
Oh my God!
I cannot
believe in the year of our Lord 2025, I said the words promote Eric Staal.
Now we're cooking, baby.
Oh,
now we're going.
I'm
going
to throw up. So Levi needs to be better in order for that pitch to happen. That said, I get a very easy answer if they lose in four. I get a very easy answer out of this, and that is, and you got to go get a veteran goaltender.
Yeah. It very quickly is like, okay.
I'm also probably not loving the idea. Yeah, he played well at the end of the year, but I'm probably not loving the idea of, hey, let's just bring back James Reimer.
Mm-hmm.
Are we sure that's that's the final problem in net? We just hope that Luukkonen bounces back? We're literally playing with the game plan of hopes, dreams, and prayers? With a team that is involved very much in voodoo, wizardry, and BS?
I mean, yeah.
about what's happened against them. I'm not saying that they practice it. It's definitely happening against
them.
They very clearly do not practice it.
They
are the victims of voodoo wizardry and BS. I don't know what else to explain it at this point anymore with the Sabres, because it's not like they've made all bad decisions. As a matter of fact,
some of them have been
two off seasons ago, we were looking at a team with a lot of hope. And they got that scoring touchback. Then the goaltending decided to flip off.
I will never forget that.
And flip that us off.
Free agency day, being here for Sports Talk Saturday, and watching the Wolves come in and go, well, that's not really doing much for me.
Yeah.
This is maybe not good. Oh, man.
So, again, we'll have an answer, and therefore Adams will have a plan of direction if this is how it ends in the AHL this year for them.
Yep.
If Levi wants to make this difficult, he needs to step up. 16 of 20 is not going to do it.
It's not going
to
do it.
It's not going to do it. And hopefully, just for the sake of it, selfishly, I would love to watch another round and drive down the 90 and get to another playoff game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would like that. Speaking of playoff games, though, there's still one around the corner this weekend. Bandits rush for all the marbles.
I will be going.
There you go.
It will be my first Bandits game ever. I'm going.
Oh, so you're going.
Yeah.
You're going at the fever pitch here.
I'm going with two buddies. I was offered to go. I meant to go to my first Bandits game earlier this year during the winter, and just stuff happened the day of the game. Couldn't make it work, which was kind of frustrating. Spent a lot of money on the tickets, but neither here nor there. I will be going on Saturday. I feel weird going for like a championship deciding game to be my first one I'm going to go to.
You know what? It introduces you to the peak madness, I guess.
Right. I guess there's maybe no better way to start than like potentially a banner racing kind of game.
Okay. Do you know enough about the game of actual lacrosse?
Yeah.
Then good. You're fine. If you don't know the sport or its core mechanics,
Yeah.
If you don't know that, game three of the NLL final is probably not the way to break you in.
That's right.
Because you are just going to go, what is happening? About 80% of the time.
Music's being played. People are running around. What's going on?
Music's being played. There's goals. There are goals waved off. You don't know what's happening, and that's like it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably going to take away from your experience of this is for the championship. If you know the core workings of lacrosse,
yep.
Then, yeah, it's a perfect welcome to Bandit Land for you.
I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Can they win it against Saskatchewan, a team that matched Buffalo's record of 13-5 all year? It was between these two all season for who would end up with the one seed. The Bandits used a hot start and a lot of time off in the beginning of their season, looking like almost demigods.
Yeah.
But it was because they were also getting a lot of rest between their games. Here we go again. Game three is you fly back. You got plenty of time to recuperate. Game two was everyone's flying to Saskatchewan. And
almost immediately.
You're playing the next day.
Yeah.
Have fun. And hope you love jet lag.
They still only lost by one. I'm very excited. Yeah,
the Bandits only lose close games. So if it's close, you're going to be like chewing off all fingernails.
I'm ready.
So
I'm ready to roll. It feels like it should be these teams in a game three in a decider.
It'll be a great time.
I can't wait. Very excited for that. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here for just one more segment on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show that is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it in Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here for just a few more minutes. We get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. We do have two playoff games tonight. We've already been mentioning a lot of hockey and basketball for tonight. Starting at 8, it is game two of Florida-Carolina. Carolina hosting.
Can the Hurricanes stop their losing streak within the Eastern Conference Finals?
Probably not.
Where their last win in the Eastern Conference Finals came against the Buffalo
That's tough, man. That's tough. FanDuel Sportsbook, though, does have him as the
favorite
tonight.
It really had to be
tonight.
That game. That's the last one that...
FanDuel's got him as the favorite tonight. Just saying.
You know what, though? Much like the Dallas Stars, I wish nothing but contempt for the Carolina Hurricanes. Am I ever going to let these things go? No.
I consider that healthy.
Should I?
I consider that healthy. You're fine.
No. Would it feel dirty to root for Carolina or Dallas? Yes. So I'm not going to.
Oh, that'd be an awful series, Carolina-Dallas. For us specifically,
for us, like, oh. For us here, oh. Yes. But at least there is the Mikko Rantanen Bowl.
Yep.
There is a juicy headline for NHL fans. Here, we'll all be like, I'm going to throw up.
But at least there is that juicy storyline for the league especially.
Yes. So there's something juicy to it. Like Dallas, Florida, for example?
Ugh.
Carolina, Edmonton is an 06 rematch, but I'd have stakes. I'd be pulling for the Oilers.
Yep.
Florida,
Edmonton is obviously the rematch from last year.
Florida, Edmonton's the rematch from last year. Dallas and Florida, for example, gives me nothing. Nothing.
I think outside of, like, I would be rooting for Florida next. I want to see the dynasty. I want to see the back-to-back.
I just want to see Dallas fall.
But, yeah, you want to see Dallas fall. Two talented
teams. At least
to
have stakes.
Yeah. There's not much there.
Mikko Rantanen is a juicy storyline, but I never want to see either the Hurricanes or Stars lift another Stanley Cup again.
That's healthy.
I am born a hater. I will stay a hater. And I guess what, Zach? When I die, what am I going to be?
Still a hater.
I'm going to be a hater.
Still a hater.
I'm going. My last
hater past the end.
My last breaths will be nothing but contempt for the Hurricanes, the Stars, and the Tennessee Titans, who are going to stand over here like, wait, what, me? Yes.
That game, especially you. That game is going to be over on TNT and then over in basketball. Minnesota Thunder game 2. That game will be on ESPN starting at 8:30. The Thunder are 7.5-point favorites for that game. Hopefully, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, after winning his MVP, does not shoot like 25 free throws. I think he only shot like 17, so I'm being dramatic for game 1, but that was at times rough to watch. That's going to do it for me and Derek. We'll be back tomorrow from 12 to 3 for Sabres Live and One Bills Live. But coming up next, Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.